In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Yesterday, ISIS took credit for the Brussels, Belgium bombings at an airport and metro station during rush hour, killing 34 and injuring nearly 200. Two explosions took place at the airport, the first next to the American Airlines check-in counter, and the other outside a nearby Starbucks where people ran after the first explosion. Water pipes burst, causing the ground to run with blood in the ensuing pandemonium. Nails packed in what some think was a suitcase bomb caused the widespread injuries. The World View spoke to Reverend Patrick Power of St. Anthony's Parish in Belgium.
The statement that they've made is really about the numbers who have died and the numbers who are wounded. The Prime Minister has said this is the darkest day in a very dark day in the history of Belgium. That's as far as we know. But I think they're all in shock at the moment from what's happened.
An American serviceman and his family, as well as three Mormon missionaries from Utah, were among the wounded. American Airlines said none of their personnel were hurt. Gunfire and yelling in Arabic was heard shortly after the explosions, and a machine gun and an undetonated suicide belt were found. The assailants, who were photographed by the airport, are still at large. The attacks came just 4 days after the main suspect in the Paris terror attack was captured. Facebook activated a new feature called Safety Check, so people in Brussels could show friends they were safe. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz were quick to make comments after the attack. Trump said the attack bolsters his argument to limit people from the Middle East who want to travel to America, while Cruz took the opportunity to take a jab at Trump for saying Monday the U.S. should withdraw from NATO. Obama spoke from Cuba, still refusing to call the attacks Islamic extremism, but saying the U.S. would continue their fight with ISIL. For the second time in 3 days, ISIS attacked U.S. firebase Bell in Iraq. Two ISIS fighters were killed on Monday, but their first attack killed one U.S. Marine and wounded 8 on Saturday. 3 of the wounded were medevaced to Germany. Fear not, powers of darkness are still fighting, but the Prince of Peace has come. Isaiah 9:5-7 tells us, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. According to a new study in the journal Sage Open, the percentage of Americans who claim they never pray reached an all-time high in 2014, up fivefold since the 1980s, and the belief in God and interest in spirituality appears to have similarly declined. Interestingly, though, the same report said more Americans believe in heaven or some other kind of afterlife than in previous years. Author Jean Twenge told The World View she thinks this will ultimately damage American culture.
In my book, Generation Me, about the millennials, I discussed some of both the upsides and the downsides of what's probably behind a lot of these trends, which is the increase in individualism in American culture. So more focus on the self, less on community and social roles.
According to an annual study done by the Norwegian Monitor, for the first time ever, more Norwegians do not believe in God than those who do. Going into Tuesday's presidential primaries in Arizona, Idaho, and Utah, both frontrunners had more negative feelings from their parties than positive. Trump, -33, and Clinton, -21, the worst since 1984. Republican frontrunner Donald Trump beat Ted Cruz handily yesterday in Arizona, where illegal immigration is a major issue. Trump won 57% of the vote to Ted Cruz's 25% in that winner-take-all state where 58 delegates were up for grabs. However, Cruz won Tuesday's Republican caucuses in Utah, handily defeating frontrunner Donald Trump. According to the Washington Examiner, Cruz succeeded in clearing the 50% point threshold statewide and was therefore on track to win all of the state's 40 delegates. If no candidate had won a majority of the votes, then the delegates would have been awarded on a proportional basis among the candidates. Plus, Cruz beat Trump in Idaho 45% to 28%, splitting the delegates there 20 to 12. Cruz seized on Trump's foreign policy inexperience while declaring that the United States is at war with the Islamic State group. Cruz told reporters that Trump does not have the minimal knowledge one would expect from a staffer at the State Department, much less from Commander-in-Chief. The stakes are too high for learning on the job. In the Democrat race, Hillary won Arizona and Bernie Sanders won Idaho and Utah. And today, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush will formally endorse Ted Cruz for president in an effort to help Republicans unite against Donald Trump's campaign. Jeb Bush said, "Ted is a consistent, principled conservative who has demonstrated the ability to appeal to voters and win primary contests. Washington is broken, and the only way Republicans can hope to win back the White House and put our nation on a better path is to support a nominee who can articulate how conservative policies will help people rise up and reach their full potential." A bill, sponsored by Idaho State Senator Cheryl Nuxhall, allowing the Bible back in public schools, has passed the legislature. It must be signed by Governor C.L. Otter if it is to become a law. The Worldview spoke to Senator Nuxhall about the importance of the bill.
It's very important because teachers and students and parents need to know that they are backed up by the state if they wish to use the Bible for reference purposes in the schools.
And Utah is now the 19th state to include the national motto, "In God We Trust," on standard option license plates. No extra charge. And that's the World View on this Wednesday, March 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we come to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids during the 21st century, during the decline of faith, family, and freedom, and a breakdown of socioeconomic systems, especially for the millennial generation. It's never been a better time to bring back biblical family discipleship and the biblical concept of the family economy. People ask me from time to time, are you a one-income family or a two-income family? I tell them, we're a seven-income family, which blows their minds because, wow, they thought that we were going to survive on one income. Well, no, actually, we have multiple incomes, many streams, many streams, as part of our family economy. Now, the family is very much disintegrated in the present day, and also part of the socioeconomic breakdown of the day, as many of you know. Now, some people are okay with it, but others are saying, hey, we got to reintegrate the family. We got to find a way to re-relevantize the family in the 21st century. And as you contemplate whether you turn your kids over to the state at 7 years of age or 5 years of age or 3 years of age or 1 year of age and just simply capitulate and slowly but surely disintegrate the nuclear family generation by generation, my suggestion is that you go back to Scripture and realize that for this reason a man shall leave his mother and father's family and cleave to his wife, and thereby form one flesh, one more family, one more family economy. Now, that, of course, was God's plan from the beginning, but hasn't really materialized well in the present day. For many, many years, little boys would work with their fathers, plowing fields and learning a trade. And now 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, and that stat came from Newsweek about 7 years ago, so I'm sure it's higher than that. They're just not growing up. Young men are not growing up because they're not finding jobs. They're not rooted in careers. They're not getting married. They're not having kids. And the millennial generation, 57% of kids born to millennials born out of wedlock. So the dysfunctionality just continues and spirals out of control generation by generation. Now, suggest a plan B, and that would be good, solid discipleship and mentorship for boys. If you disciple, if you mentor, if you turn to a generation of boys that would play video games while Rome burns, and do plan B and disciple them, mentor them. That will produce the next generation of fathers and husbands. And by the way, the next generation of good employees and good entrepreneurs who will take the economy into the next generation and maybe provide a little bit extra for the 80 million retiring baby boomers in the year 2040. So how is this all going to happen? Will it happen by dad watching sports for 45 hours a week on television while he works his corporate job for the other 45? I think the answer is obvious. Probably going to have to check out a plan B on this one. We've already proved that dad watching television for 45 hours a week while he also works his corporate job for the other 45 is probably not the best recipe for mentoring the next generation of young boys. Well, that's why the family economy. My friends, it's something that's existed for 5,940 years until roughly 1940, when modern society tried a different approach, which isn't working out very well at this point. So why don't we go back to the family economy, oikonomia. Word economics comes from oikonomia, the Greek word for oikos, family, nomia, law. Economy is the law of the family, the vision of the family. The basic economic unit is not the individual. The basic economic unit is the family. And it's been that way for 5,940 years. And that's why the NOAA conference coming up in August of this year. Now, the NOAA conference has a broader vision to it. We want to encourage families who are attempting to raise children in the millennial age with the utter breakdown of faith around us, where kids are not being discipled and where families are more or less irrelevant. So the NOAA conference is bringing back a concept of, well, building an ark, both spiritually and economically for our families, while the world is struggling and while the world is going through its death throes, we as Christians continue to build a spiritual ark for our children. That is an area in which they can be discipled in the gospel of Jesus Christ and saved by the grace of God and discipled in the ways of God. That is our homes. And then we want to also provide something of a family economy, which seemed to work out fairly well for Noah for about 120 years. And as it turns out, the ark was pretty important for that particular family economy. Well, the NOAA conference is coming up in August, mid-August, and you'll check it out at noaaconference.org. Go to that website right now, noaaconference.org, for more information on this great conference bringing back a vision that's been largely lost over the last 70 to 80 years. We're talking about family-based discipleship, family-based economics, and family-based elder care. Does that sound like a good idea to you? It sure does to me. Spiritually, culturally, socially, economically, we got huge downturns around us, and we've talked about that on the program before. It's a worldwide phenomenon, by the way, the breakdown of entire socioeconomic systems happening in most of the developed nations around the world, especially for the millennial generation. Highest unemployment rates ever, lowest possible discretionary income sources ever, ever, ever in the history of young men and women launching, and of course, they are not having kids. And they have the highest debt ratios ever, ever, ever. So in a milieu like this, wouldn't it be a good idea for families with vision to attend the NOAA conference and work on Plan B? Let me suggest that as a good idea for you. Check out noaaconference.org for more information on that as we talk about launching our children spiritually and economically into a rough, rough, rough world out there. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about this with Brian Young, and he tells a story, a good story, about one direction, one journey that one family walked, and he has made it with internet sales. And let me just give you a little background on what's happening with internet sales. The gross internet sales in America, growing at 20% per year since 2010, it has doubled in 5 years. Gross sales on the internet, $168 billion in 2010. In 2014, that number was $305 billion, meaning that This area of economy is doubling every 5 years, and it doesn't show any signs of dissipating. This growth rate continues and continues and continues. And the question for Christian families is, how would you like to play a part in it? How would you like to take a piece of it? The internet, of course, one of the most decentralized opportunities right now in the world. Hey, you got $305 billion of sales opportunities for families out there. Anybody want a piece of that? $305 billion decentralized opportunities in which somebody Googles for a niche product and finds your store in two clicks. Hey, it happens. It's happening all over the place. Ran into a family in Idaho as we did our family economics conferences around the country. And this family was making a living on selling 1930s Hoover sewing machine parts. Believe it or not, the old cast iron sewing machines, apparently they need new parts, and you can keep these things going. And there's a market for that. Now, back in 1980, if you had opened a store in downtown Denver selling 1930s sewing machine parts, you would have been broke inside of about 3 weeks. You wouldn't have a customer but for about once every 4 to 5 years. Now, the internet and the niche opportunities available on the internet has opened up a massive economy for the niche market, including families up in Idaho living off the grid, making a living selling 1930s sewing machine parts. This is amazing. And, of course, the big boxes, as we reported on a Worldview in 5 Minutes program over the last couple of months, the big box stores are going out of business. I'm talking about the Circuit Cities, the JCPenney's, Sears, Borders, and the most recent Sports Authority, walking away from hundreds of big box stores just over the last couple of weeks. All right, so that's what's happening, friends. The big box is going out of business, but the internet sales opportunities are growing exponentially right now. So Brian Young joins me on the Generations broadcast from his ProfitSourcing.com website. Brian, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. I'm honored.
It's so good to have you because you tell a story, Brian, and I want you to tell it to our listening audience of how God worked in your heart, in your life, in your home, and brought about a pretty radical shift, not just in the way you looked at your family, but also the way you did your family economy. Tell us a little piece of the story as we start off on this subject.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick overview, and then if you have any questions, just ask me. I can go into more detail.
Yeah.
But in 2012, I stumbled across your radio program, and I bought your book, The Second Mayflower, and it kind of revolutionized the way I looked at my family. I wanted to obviously build a family economy, but your vision for a unified family really just gave me a passion that I didn't have before. I knew it was important to spend quality time with my kids, but as I began to study the scriptures and listen to your program, I realized that quality time is equally, if not more, important. In fact, when you read Deuteronomy 6, it tells us to teach God's law to our children when they sit down in the house, when they walk by the way, when they lie down, when they rise up. And so if you just condense that down, it's really all the time.
Hmm.
So our responsibility as parents are to disciple and train and encourage our children, you know, throughout the day.
Hmm.
It's not something that we can, you know, marginalize just Wednesday nights or evenings and occasionally on the weekend. It's really something that we need to be doing all the time with them. And so I think what was really exciting about the homeschool movement, the Christian homeschool movement in my mind, was that all these families were saying, yeah, we need to bring mom home and she needs to be the manager of the household and she needs to educate the children. I think that's a good first step. But as I began to read the book of Proverbs, I realized that, you know, it's also important for dad to be home.
Mm.
In fact, you know, Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear, O son, a father's instruction." So the emphasis is on the father teaching the son. And it's the same thing in Proverbs 3. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Proverbs 5:1 says, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding."
Hmm.
And so I just had this growing desire to not only make sure mom could be home full time, but to make sure that I could be home full time, to really, you know, minister and build into the life of my children so that when they grow up and they're shoved off into the real world, they will have, you know, a lifetime of discipleship from their dad, which I think is so important, especially in our culture today.
I think what's happened is that God's ordinance tends to die the death of a thousand qualifications, you know. It's just the family gets so segregated in every single area, whether it be education, entertainment, church, economics. You know, the modern family is massively disintegrated just simply because of modern life. And we just got to find a way to reintegrate the family and provide that opportunity to make Deuteronomy 6 happen. And the family economy is a great way to do it. Now, we're not telling every dad to come home from his job. And I remind people of that all the time. I'm just saying, okay, you got seven people in the home. What are they doing? And dad's working 45 hours a week out of 120 waking hours. What's he doing with the other 75? See, that's all we're asking. It's really, really simple. There's nothing complicated about this at all. It's just, how do we reintegrate dad into the home? And families do this in different ways. But how did you do it? How did you come? Because you came home, right, Brian?
I did, yeah. And I completely agree. Like, I think there's so many people out there, Christian fathers, they're doing a great job in whatever vocation God has called them to do. And for some of them, it requires them to leave the home. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a growing restlessness among some of the fathers out there, some of the families out there. And because there's such a great opportunity in Amazon, like just reselling physical products, I think that it would just, I'm just here to encourage those people, the ones that are looking to maybe an alternative way to make money, alternative way to provide financial income for the family to do it. And yeah, so my story is pretty unique, I guess. So 2012, we're studying, I was just trying to find a way that we could build a home-based economy that would work, that would financially support us so that we could be home together. And I stumbled across Amazon. I started selling used books. So I would go into like a thrift store or book sale with my cell phone and then later a PDA, which is like a device that we would load up the Amazon database on. And I just would go through all the books in the thrift store looking for ones that had a high likelihood of being resold for a profit. And that worked for a while. And actually the first year of sales, we did about $98,000 in sales.
No, back up for a second. Your first year, you grossed what? $98,000?
$98,000.
You're kidding me.
A book.
You're kidding me.
So, I mean, and like you said in the intro, I mean, we're not, I mean, these books might not be marketable. These niche books might not be marketable to this local geography here in southeastern Minnesota, but you know, people all over the country and the world are buying them. There's demand, you know, we're just supplying that demand.
Wow. So in a single year, now, had you quit your job at this point? Was this on the side?
Yeah, so 2013, we said, I was working actually as a CNA at a nursing home setting as a part of the Mayo Clinic, working with the elderly.
Okay.
And my wife was working in radiology part-time.
Okay.
And we said, we want mom to come home, we want dad to come home. I'm going to quit my job now for the year 2013, be a full-time stay-at-home dad. We had five kids at the time. And then the plan was, you know, Lord willing, if God blessed our business, to bring mom home January 2014.
Okay.
So I probably put in, so it was me at home working on this business, I probably put in about 15, 20 hours per week on this project.
All right. That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, it's definitely hard work. I mean, you're moving books around, and I don't want people to think that it's an easy job, but there's just so much potential there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. So what happened?
So 2014, $98,000 in gross sales. We said, we think God is showing us that this is it. You know, this is the way that we're going to be able to build this home-based economy that we feel like is in line with Scripture. And took the leap of faith. She quit her job. Very lucrative job with good benefits, and we did it. So she came home, and then together, us and then a couple of the older kids working together on selling books on Amazon. And then a few months in, we decided to go to wander into the retail stores because we knew that, you know, if it worked for books, you know, scanning their barcodes or entering the UPC number to determine their value online, you know, it could work for toys and games and electronics and groceries too. And we found the same thing. So we go into like a Toys R Us or TJ Maxx or Sam's Club or Walmart or Target, go to the clearance section. And we were finding that these local stores were clearancing out items, you know, 75, all up to 90% off. Hmm. They were selling, you know, full retail value online. And so that was a big turning point for our business. We really were able to scale it up, just increase our sales, and God really, really richly blessed us in 2014.
Hmm. Wow. So effectively, you've made up the income that you lost with mom and dad working outside of the home.
Yeah, and I think that first year, we're still obviously, you know, learning the ropes,
yeah,
figuring out the business. But by the end of 2014, we did just under $300,000 in sales.
Mm. Wow. What a blessing.
So three times, you know, we did the year before, which was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. How old are your children? Are they able to participate at all, Brian, in this endeavor?
Yeah, well, so, okay, so that brings us to 2015, and my daughter right now is 13 years old. She's the oldest.
Okay.
And our youngest is 5 months old. So okay. We have seven kids. There's four boys and three girls.
Oh, wow. What a blessing.
And you know, I kind of was like, you know, I think maybe this home-based business is going to be a catalyst for us to, like, bond and to, you know, work hard together, rub shoulders, encourage each other, you know, obviously some discipleship opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of 2014, I found out that, you know, there just wasn't that much enthusiasm around the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2015, we said, maybe what we can do is we can scale this business up a little bit more and then hire people to do, you know, the bulk majority of the work. And then we can just take our free time, the time that we're not spending on the business, and we can focus more on education. We can focus more on just, you know, doing life together, traveling, you know, and that sort of thing. And so really 2015 was the year that we wanted to kind of step out of the business and just use it as a good, dependable source of income.
Okay. And did that work for you?
Yeah. So we hired a guy from church, had a young family. We hired him to work for us full time. And he handled basically the entire retail aspect of the business. You go to the retail stores. And then we ship everything off to Amazon's warehouses, and they fulfill it to the customer. So it's like once a week, kind of box everything up in bulk and ship it off. And so he handles that. And then we assembled the team. My brother-in-law manages our book-selling business. So we hired like three or four people to go shopping for the books or sourcing for the books. And then we hired a couple people to do the listing, and they were able to list from home, and then he manages the whole thing.
Hmm.
And so although we're still involved in the business, we still probably spend like 20 to 30 hours a week working on it together. It's really been great because we've been able to create all these really good paying jobs that are also family centric, and then also kind of free up our time to spend together as a family.
Folks, Brian Young from ProfitSourcing.com. And Brian, you've got some resources to help families maybe take a piece of this $305 billion industry. And why don't you share a little bit about what you're doing with that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, there's such a huge opportunity, and I just wanted to be able to help people out. And time and time again, people were asking me for coaching, and we just don't have enough time to help everybody. So I wrote a book. It's called Book Flipping. You can find it on the website. It's also on Amazon. It just kind of lays out the basics of starting to sell books on Amazon, because those were kind of the first few steps that we took to get to where we're at, and then walks you through the whole process.
Hmm.
So I pull back the curtain to our business, and I tell you everything, all the secrets about, you know, what we do, what our criteria is, you know, how to use the equipment, what supplies we buy, what programs we use, and all that. And that you can find that on the website. That's also available on Amazon as well.
And that Get You Started in Internet Marketing book is typically, what, $50? And Brian has graciously provided five copies of this for our listeners who faithfully tune into the Generations program. And for those of you who are really interested and want to find a way in which your family might be able to take a piece of this $305 billion industry, just email me at host@generations.org. First five that email host@generations.org take away a copy of this book flipping book at profitsourcing.com. So again, just email me at host@generations.org. We appreciate you providing us five copies of that, Brian. Let's give us just a few tips real quick. We only have a few minutes left, but maybe just a couple of things you've learned about internet marketing and family business?
Yeah, I think just the potential. Like, honestly, the things that you would, you walk into a store and you, especially when it comes to books, I mean, the titles you're looking at, you think nobody in the world would ever want a copy of this book. And you bring it home and you list it on the internet and it sells. Like, we sold a copy of, it was a hiking guide, a trail hiking guide for Guam for $140.
Oh, man.
On Amazon.
Oh, man. That's incredible. What a niche. What a niche.
Just incredible. And then, you know, you go from like these weird, bizarre titles that have no marketability here, like in Rochester for whatever reason, that are selling worldwide. But then also, we sell groceries online. We sell, I mean, everything from electronics to toys and games and clothing. I mean, there's just so much opportunity out there. I mean, some of my colleagues, my competitors would say, you should be sharing all this information with people because you're going to flood the market. But I just think there's such an abundance of opportunity when it comes to books and when it comes to retail stores that it's just such a great opportunity for Christian homeschooling families, you know, to get in on it and either use it as a primary stream of income or to supplement whatever they're already doing at home.
And if we're looking at a $305 billion industry increasing at a rate of $60 to $100 billion per year, friends, that's an increasing market. The pie is only getting bigger, and Brian has graciously provided some tips on how to succeed in this marketing. And check out his resources at profitsourcing.com, or be one of the first five to write into this program, and you'll get his course absolutely free from generations.org. Just email me at host@generations.org. Brian Young, thank you so much for joining us on Generations. We'd love to have you at the NOAA conference to interact with the folks from a panel if you can make it. But wow, what an opportunity for Christian homeschool families and Christian families around the world to really begin to find another form, another opportunity, another atmosphere and environment in which to do the Deuteronomy 6-7 mandate, and that is to disciple your children as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. What a great opportunity, and thanks for sharing your testimony with us today, Brian.
Thank you, Kevin. It's an honor. God bless.
All right, my friends, don't forget the NOAA conference, working the Plan B, as we provide a vision for family economy, family discipleship, and launching your kids in the less than friendly environment of the millennial generation. The NOAA conference, I think, will produce hundreds, if not thousands, of great ideas and, of course, great talks, great panels, and great resources for your family. On top of that, you get to go see the Ark. The big art exhibit produced by Answers in Genesis, my friends. Millions of people are flocking towards this, according to our friends at Answers in Genesis. And we'd like to provide our listening audience the opportunity to visit the gigantic Ark exhibit just 20 minutes from the conference location. Also, the Creation Museum is 20 minutes on the other side of our conference location as well. So the NOAA conference for you this August. Check it out at noaaconference.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Hi, I'm Adam McManus. You may recognize my voice from the Worldview in 5 minutes, played at the beginning of the Generations radio program every day. We've received so much positive feedback from our listeners about this newscast that we recently launched it as a standalone radio program at theworldview.com. Not only can you listen to this Christian newscast at theworldview.com, you can also subscribe to get The Worldview in 5 minutes delivered to you daily via email, iTunes, or other podcatchers via RSS. Needless to say, the whole process is quite time-consuming. 9 people work diligently to put it together. A couple people research the news stories at an hour apiece. Then the writers spend about 2 hours writing it, and I spend an hour or so taping it and editing it. And then finally, one of our editors adds in the music as well as the sound bites that were gleaned from interviews that very day. And all of it is 100% listener supported. If you've been encouraged by this broadcast, perhaps even using it in your own family worship like many of our listeners do, looking up scriptures and their relevance to today's headlines, please consider giving to support our continued work by going to generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. Again, that's generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.